What is going on, Badger fans? Good show today. We're going to talk some more recruiting, signing day superlatives. Who are my three most versatile athletes? Who have the highest upside? We're going to talk about that from that 2023 class and then get into some of your reactions from a previous hot button show. We're going to talk about all of that and more on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, my friends? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. As always, I'm your host, Ryan Herrings. Thank you so, so much for tuning into the show, for joining us, for giving a little bit of your time to this community. It's very appreciated. Very appreciated. I really do mean that. Today's show is brought to you by FanDuel, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. All right, I want to start with football because, you know, it's funny. The early signing day has really taken all the pizzazz out of National Signing Day, and I feel like we almost put it in the rearview mirror. National Signing Day, the original, the OG National Signing Day, where basically everybody signed. We signed, obviously, Jamel Howard, which we talked about, big-time get. But I wanted to kind of take one more step back, look at the entirety of the 2023 high school football class, the recruiting class, not the transfers, just the high school kids. Throw a little bit of analysis on it, including some superlatives we haven't got to, because I think there's some really interesting pieces in this class when you zoom out. And I've talked about the depth of it, right? So I'm not going to rehash that. I really, though, do think, even though it's not a big class, it's not a highly ranked class, quite frankly, it's not a good enough class. Like, the classes going forward from the high school ranks are going to have to be better. I think they will be better. I do think it's a very solid class. There's a lot of building blocks in this. I want to get into my three highest upside guys from this class, guys that I think have just star potential. The first one's Tretch Kekahuna. There's a chance he steps onto campus and is like the best slot receiver right away almost. Like the experience he has playing at two different powerhouse high school programs, Hawaii, and then obviously going to Bishop Gorman, being the most productive receiver on that Bishop Gorman team, which featured the number one receiver in the country, I believe, from the high school prep ranks. He is so good. And the thing with Tretch that is most impressive is he's been so good at everything he's done and everywhere he's been. Like, he was unguardable at St. Louis in the powerhouse Hawaiian high school, right? He was unguardable out there. He's been to camps. He's been unguardable. The film from his Wisconsin camps is just ridiculous. Like, nobody can stay with this dude. And the thing of it is, he can win in a couple different ways because he's not, when you think a slot receiver, you're thinking of like maybe a 5'9", you know, kind of a Kenzel Doe type. He's taller than that. He's bigger than that. He could play on the outside probably. He's built. He can run after the catch. He can run through tackles. He's incredibly shifty. He's been incredibly productive. He went to the Poly Bowl and tore that up as well, especially looking really explosive after the catch. I think they're going to be able to get him the ball in multitudes of ways. I think receivers can play early, especially in Longo's system. I think he's got NFL upside. I love me some Tretch. So that's my first one. Then I got Amari Snowden. I mean, this is just an obvious reason. Like, you know, you cue that Captain Obvious meme, right? If you're a 6'3 dude who potentially can play cornerback and you've been recruited by Luke Fickle and that staff and they recognize that talent, again, John Garcia Jr., who joins us a lot, the Sports Illustrated guy, he actually made this comment to me offline. I don't think he said it on the show. Maybe he did. I don't remember. He said Amari Snowden is the freakiest of the freaks. Like, to be that big with those ball skills, like, he has receiver clips too in huddle. When you're watching Amari Snowden, you see some of the receiver clips come through. He can track the ball. He can play it. If he's a cornerback, like, this is – again, like, we're all projecting here. And when a high school kids come in, you always have a tinge of optimism, right? You kind of look at them through the optimistic lens. It's much like minor league baseball when your team drafts a right-hand pitcher and he throws 97. Like, you kind of go into it saying, man, if he can get that changeup and he can spot the curve, this is a front-of-the-line pitcher. Well, Amari Snowden, if he can, you know, stay with receivers in tight spaces and run with them, this is a first-round corner. Like, this is a top three-round corner. We'll just say that. Like, 6'3 corners with his speed and athletic ability and ball skills don't really come around at the high school level very much. So I'm very intrigued. And again, even if he has to shift to safety, he's got good size for safety and great ball skills. This is that center fielder that I've been saying this defense has been missing since Tanner McAvoy was here, right? That tall, rangy center fielder who can go up and knock away balls at the apex of the throw. So to me, he is a top of the food chain predator in the defensive secondary potentially. I can't wait to see Amari play. And the third one, I'm kind of going a little bit off the radar with this one, but I'm talking upside, right? I'm talking if everything comes together, I'm talking not necessarily the most polished prospect, but JT Taylor. The more I've watched JT Taylor, and again, I had his head coach on the show talk to him. The more I've seen him talk to people who know him, I think he's a stud. I think he's a steal in this class. So the first thing with AJ Taylor, or JT Taylor, not, I said AJ Taylor, that harkens back to a Badger receiver we're all familiar with, JT Taylor, is he plays everywhere, right? And I think that when you play everywhere, it takes some developmental practice reps, whatever it is, away from that position that you're going to focus on in college. They said they're bringing him in as a corner. He can play, man, he can play running back, receiver, corner, safety, in the slot. When you watch him in film for a team that won a state title, by the way, they are getting him the ball on jet sweeps, power handoffs, direct snaps. They're throwing it to him, throwing screens to him. He's playing corner, safety. He does it all, and he does it all really well. Great athlete, 6'2", almost 200 pounds. And when I talked to his coach, when I talked to him, just rave reviews about the way he approaches the game, his mental aspect, watches tons of film. Like, we had a play watching with JT Taylor where he broke up a pass on a deep go route with the receiver. And he said, oh, yeah, that was from film study. You know, we knew out of that alignment, that's where they were going. And it's just really impressive from a high school kid to hear him talk the game with that level of preparation and IQ. And then you add to the fact that that he just can play just about every position. Like, this is a guy, he's coming in at corner. This is a guy that I think you could see at receiver really easily in a couple of years, or maybe at safety in a couple of years, or just on special teams. Those clips are there as well. Like, a big time athlete with the preparation, will to win, all of that, gets high marks from his coach for leadership and tangibles. I think he's a potential star, JT Taylor. So I keep looking up for that. Really quick, a couple of my most versatile athletes, JT Taylor, obviously I just talked about, plays all over the field. I'm not going to rehash that one. Braden Moore coming in as a really highly ranked safety. His receiver film is really good too. Special teams ability. He's another one that, like, he's a really good safety. One of the higher ranked safeties Wisconsin's gotten in the recruiting rankings era, but his highlight films are mostly at receiver. So again, you're talking about those ball skills being able to translate. He's really versatile, both sides of the field. And then Christian Allegro, if we're talking versatility, you watch his film, the prep product out of Connecticut, you watch his film and he looks like a strong safety, but he plays linebacker. And then you start to think about potential shift to this 3-3-5 system, or at least some more hybrid players. Christian's going to fit right into that. I think his versatility on defense is really impressive. He's going to be able to play outside linebacker, come downhill, but he can really run with tight ends. He can really get down the field and cover a lot of space. I think a lot of versatility for Tressel and this new defense coming forward. And then if we're going to grade the two sides of the ball, that's the other thing I just kind of want to do. I kind of want to wrap up, put the bow on the 2023 class. Again, I think it's good. I don't think it's great. I thought Fickell did a lot of heavy lifting when he got here. But if you have that type of coaching uncertainty, right, that type of just abrupt stop in recruiting momentum because the head coach is gone, and quite frankly, he didn't really have that ball rolling at the beginning anyway, it's not going to be a knock it out of the park home run class. So offensively, I'm going to say B-. Originally, I had it a little higher. And then you start looking at it, I really think they could have used another running back. I like Nate White. I like Nate White even more in Longo's system. This felt like a two running back class to me. It just didn't happen. I thought they could have used another high school receiver. Now, they did augment with, right, Quincy Burroughs came over, Will Pauling came over, Green, CJ Williams. So that need kind of went away when the transfers flooded in. But definitely felt like another running back. You look at the depth chart at Wisconsin. You start to understand Braylon Allen's been hurt basically every year, worn down. Chez Malusi's been hurt a ton. And that's all you have proven right now. It's kind of scary at running back. Now, we're not going to lean on that as much. I felt like they could have used another one, and I thought they could have used another offensive lineman. James Durant, I think, is a big get, but it felt like they could have brought another body in there as well. I don't know. B-, solid. I like Cole LeCrew a lot. I like Tucker Ashcroft a lot. I like a lot of the pieces. It just felt like they were light in a couple spots. Defense, I'm going B+. I think that the late addition of Jamel Howard really helps prop this up. And then I've talked about, they brought in six defensive backs, six DBs. to address a huge need for Wisconsin in a spot that we typically have a hard time filling. So you bring in those six DBs, and then it's not just six DBs, it's a diverse set of six DBs, right? Jace Arnold, we talked about him. He's incredibly fast, really burner fast. And there's your slot corner, right? And then you have Tisdale, you have DeCluna, the big 6 foot cornerback. Braden Moore is a 4-star safety. We talked about Snowden. There's just so much talent there. JT Taylor starting there. It's a big time defensive back group. And then Tyler Jansen and Allegro, I love at linebackers. Both Jansen's a stud. Like, he's another one I really like. And then you bring in Jamel Howard. That's a big time get. So I'm going to say B plus there. I thought they could have used another defensive lineman, quite frankly, try to find another strong safety defensive end. And I thought maybe another edge rusher to join Jordan Mayer they could have used. But B plus there, B minus on offense. That's kind of my wrap up of the 2023 class. We went more in depth on each prospect as well. But I kind of realized we didn't really talk the big class when this all wrapped up after Jamel Howard signed. So I wanted to do that. Okay. Coming up, we're going to talk about your feedback to our Gray Guard show, because I think it's super important to involve the community in all of these discussions. So that's what we're talking about next. A bunch of people that really disagree with me and a bunch of people that really disagree with Scott. And we're going to throw it all into a melting pot and see what happens. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at FanDuel. FanDuel, again, it's our new friends of the show. It's America's number one sports book. It's number one for a reason. And with Super Bowl coming up, this is the only app that you need to download. It's America's number one sports book. And we're really excited about this because if you're new to it, it's great. You're going to get to experience all the great features at once. And you're also going to be able to do a no sweat first bet from FanDuel. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. That's incredible. $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first one doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will win, who will score a touchdown. You can do same game parlays, incredible stuff. And I've talked about it, Wisconsin plus 10,000 to win a natty. Go put $5 on it, see what happens. Let's see how far this fickle factor, this new era can bring us this year. I'm also going on, I'm absolutely going on Colorado over 4.5. I think they definitely go the over on that. I'm all aboard the Deion hype train. The FanDuel Sportsbook is safe, secure, and easy to use. The app is incredible. Best of all, you get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. All right, let's get into this, y'all. So again, lots of comments about we had the Gray Guard mega show, right? We were talking about frustrations, reasons for optimism, where we're at, state of the program, a bunch of comments. I almost went through and tallied them up, even like the optimistic comments and kind of the more pessimistic ones. And I was like, this is kind of nonsense. I don't need to go through 100 something comments and do that. But really, it's pretty split. So let's get some up here. Let's talk about it. And again, I really want your feedback into this show because this is a community discussion. When it comes to Gray Guard and all these things with the Badgers, it's not just me up here giving you my opinion. I want all the takes, right? As long as we're doing it respectfully, I want all of that stuff. And a lot of it, you know, I read your comments and some of the stuff where I was like, yeah, you're probably right on that. Maybe I didn't articulate that well enough, or maybe I'm just wrong. So let's get into some of this. The first one from Mark F. And again, there's a lot of the fact that so many people are all over the map on this discussion means it's a good one, right? It means that there's nuance here. It means it's not black and white as much as you may think it is. There's very valid opinions, I think, on both sides of kind of the argument of, are we slipping or is this just a down year, right? Should he be on the hot seat or should he not be? So Mark F. says, Matt Painter had worse years than Guard is currently having. Purdue was wise to stick with him. Guard is a good coach who is improving as a recruiter. Okay. Dice Gaming and Sports says, I like Guard, but I've been saying he should be fired for years. Good coach, won't ever win big games. And by the way, I appreciate all the comments, y'all. Really do. Stingray says, Guard's seat has to be warm. The downward slide has been obvious for some time. Lack of recruiting is the main reason. Scott was very rational. Matter of fact, Rajiv is delusional. Stingray, man, I appreciate you chiming in. By the way, if Rajiv is delusional, that means I kind of am too, because I'm mostly with Rajiv on this. He's a little more optimistic than I am on Guard, I think, but I'm definitely more on his side on this. So you could put me in that delusional box as well. Stingray, appreciate the comments. Highlight Center says, it's less of Guard's resume and more of I don't think he can get us to that ceiling. Okay. Mike Schwartz says, to me, it's not even about the wins. It's about how boring the team is to watch. No excitement. Excuse me. I catch myself turning the channel off even in wins, and I'm a huge basketball fan. Appreciate the comment, Mike. Mark Fleming says, this is way too negative. As far as he can't recruit, we just had a player drafted 10th in the NBA. Next year looks good, and we should continue building. Got Eric Hoffman says, the 23 class is strong, and he has a good chance of having a very good 24 class. His recruiting efforts seem to be better and more aggressive, Eric Hoffman. So let me just kind of talk about some of this mismatch here. I struggle with this because I think a lot of times we dig in on our opinions and our viewpoints, and we don't really take a second to understand or to hear what the other side is saying, right? We get very dug in. And I'm the same way. Like, I'm not holier than thou on our some high horse there. Like, I think, you know, Greg Gard has been a pretty good coach. I don't think he should be on the hot seat, but sometimes maybe I dig into that too much and you know, don't acknowledge some of the points of, you know, it is difficult basketball to watch at times, or the downward slide from where Bo Ryan was to where we are now. Like, that has been a thing. You know, Bo Ryan, like, Greg Gard's first two runs were with Bo Ryan's guys, basically. So, you know, there's really good points on both sides of this. And I think I would encourage people, I'm never going to tell someone how to think or what to do. I would encourage people to try to understand the other viewpoints. And, you know, there's probably more middle ground here than sometimes we realize. NDB112 says, Chris and Gard are one and the same. Yay, we did good, never great. Miss out on top talent in state. Time to move on from good and time to be great. No question, we move on. Wow. NDB bringing the fire. No question, we move on. Listen, I'll just say this. If you told me we could move on from Greg Gard and move right to great, I think everybody takes that. I don't know if it's always that simple, man. Like, we moved on from Chris to Fickell. That doesn't mean we're going to move on from Greg Gard to the equivalent of the basketball Fickell, right? That it's not always that simple. Cheyenne V, who loves to poke holes in the show, but does have an eye for basketball for sure, said we had, and this was in response to a comment that we haven't had a Sweet 16 level team since Bo Ryan left. He said we actually had two Sweet 16 teams after Bo left. Also a red hot team that won the Big Ten in 2020. That was a Sweet 16 contender. And he said, I'd argue that the 2022 team was a Sweet 16 type of team until injuries as well. So that's from Shyam. I apologize if I mispronounced the name. Yeah, so I agree. That last point with the 2022 team, I actually think that team was poised for a run. I really do. Like, the problem is people, and this is, again, this is just my opinion, my take on this. People will disagree, and that's fine. Like, disagreements are absolutely fine. This is just my opinion. It doesn't make it the right one. But people will sometimes say, well, you have to build a roster resilient to injuries, right? So you can't be derailed by an injury. The excuse that that team was really good and then injuries derailed it, speaking to the 2022 team specifically. I don't like that excuse because no team has redundancy to a lottery pick, okay? Like, if any team loses a Johnny Davis level player or he's hampered, and Johnny Davis was very clearly hampered at the end of last year, and then you lost Chucky Hepburn, no team is surviving that and running to the Sweet 16. Like, that's just, to me, that's not realistic. And that can't be on guard because you can't stop an ankle from exploding, right? Hepburn's ankle was the end of that year. And quite frankly, Davis was dinged up as well. So I don't know. Like, it's hard for me. I don't want to say I don't hold guard to certain expectations in March. That season, it's hard for me. You lost the year to COVID. I don't know. He's had some bad luck in March. Now, call me an apologist for that, and maybe I am. Again, this is only my opinion. I think he's had some bad luck in March, though. And I also think March has a greater variance than you see in a regular season, right? It's a one-off tournament. A lot of weird things can happen, i.e. injuries, i.e. COVID wiping out a year where your team was humming, right? Like, that, those aren't on guard, you know? So, I don't know. It's an interesting conversation for sure. Washki, gosh, dude, I'm sorry. I know I butchered that name. Says Ryan, you were right. Davis getting hurt us. Oh yeah, exactly what I was saying. Davis getting hurt us last year. We lost a lot from last year. The portal hurt our depth, but the Badgers are getting out of the funk. We will play better. Thank you, Al. And then we go right into Bryce, who says Scott is 100% correct. Love you guys, but this is not just a down year. You guys are too optimistic. This guy is never making a Final Four. Gus is great, but the mix matters. You know, and really quick, if you see your comment up here, but you don't see the entirety of it, that's because I have a character limit. I can't put anything up here more than 200 characters. I wish I could. So I end up having to paraphrase a lot of what you say. Bryce had an interesting point where he says the mix matters. So he's saying Gus Yeldon is great, and I love me some Gus. Y'all know that. But he's saying that's not enough when you don't have any athletic wings or you don't have depth in those areas. And I think he's right. Bryce, by the way, friend of the show, called into one of our football therapy shows a long time ago. Really appreciate all your comments, Bryce. You're an awesome dude, man. I think that's right. Like, I think you're dead on that. The mix does matter. You can't have just all skilled guys. You need some athletes. You need some dudes who can get up and down in court, who can be 6'7", and go and fly in and get a defensive rebound over bodies. Like, you need a dose of athleticism on this roster, and he has to get that in the portal this year. I think he has to. He absolutely has to address the limited athleticism on this team. And to me, if he doesn't this offseason, it's a failure. It doesn't mean he immediately goes on the hot seat. It's not like the hot seat switch, but that would be a failure in roster construction because it is a deficient spot on this team, in my opinion. Let's keep going here. Richard Clayton says, Big Ten champs two of the last 3 years is somehow a regression, question mark. Absolutely nonsense take. This is a down year, and that's it. So, Richard, appreciate the comment. And again, that's indicative of the back and forth in among the Badgers fan base. I think that is a microcosm, this comment section, where basically every other comment is – trying to adjust my head. It's hard when my camera's first. I think every other comment is – yes, I agree he should be in the hot seat, or no, I don't agree. He's been really good, and the hot seat talk is premature. I think we're pretty split. And even among the people on this show, right, if you think about, like, you know, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, right, we have four of us. There's four Bears, I guess, however you want to slice it. But, like, Scott is like, no, I'm mostly done. And that and everyone has a valid opinion on this, by the way. Like, all these perspectives are well thought out. They're intelligent. They're reasonable. And we can have a respectful conversation about it. But Scott is basically done. Justin's maybe just a little more positive, but still pretty negative. Then I'm mostly optimistic. And, like, Rajiv is the most optimistic. We all kind of have a different perspective on it. And I think the fan base is very similar. There's a lot of perspectives on this. So I appreciate everybody for tuning into that show and lending your input. I think it's a very interesting, fascinating discussion that obviously is going nowhere. So, all right, we're going to take a very quick break, and then I'm going to tell you a couple big picture basketball things that I took out of this discussion and where my opinion is at with why this team will be better next year, in my opinion, and some parts of the season that just don't matter to me that I think other people maybe put too much stock into. We're coming up next on Locked On Badgers with that. But first, a quick word from our friends of the show. All right, I want to thank everybody again for tuning in the show. If you like it, hit the subscribe button, or don't. Whatever you want to do, we really appreciate you tuning in. Y'all are amazing as we build this community up. I'm incredibly, incredibly humbled that anybody takes any time out of their day to listen to what we're doing. It means a lot. I truly, truly mean that. All right, let's talk about a couple of big picture things here that I've thought about a lot. I've had a lot of time to think about in regards to this conversation, the comments that we got. The first one I want to say is for a lot of people leaving comments that are disagreeing, that's awesome. Like, I really appreciate that. And I think there's takes in there that make me go back and think about what I said. So I really appreciate that. There, several people came in, Shyam did, and then there was another one, Justin, I think his name was, I'm forgetting the name, maybe Jefferson. I apologize. Questioning my continued harping on the zone. A couple of points were, you know, this is not a good rebounding team anyway. A zone is going to exasperate that, right? Because in a zone, you obviously aren't manned up on someone. It makes it more difficult to box out. Those long rebounds are easier for the opposing offense to get. So that's a good point. Another one was this isn't a long-rangey team. Like, it's not a team maybe built to run a zone. So all good points, by the way. I want to just highlight, because maybe I wasn't very articulate either in what I was trying to say. I am not advocating for a major shift in our defensive principles, right? I think it's a man-to-man team. I think the best teams, they have at least a foundation of man-to-man, and a lot of them are almost entirely man-to-man. All I'm saying with the zone is I think you can use it to steal possessions. I think when you don't have the most talented roster, you kind of need to find ways to steal possessions. So coming out of a timeout when the opponent has drawn up something, has drawn up a set, right? Timeouts go quick. Having been in some, like, timeouts go quick, okay? A lot of times you don't have plays for every type of defensive set. And if you know the opposing team is only going to run man, that's a great spot to hit them with some type of zone, hit them with some type of junk defense, and really make them think or make them get out of rhythm. The other thing I would say is there's been games this year where we haven't been able to cut off penetration. The other team has been getting a ton of points at the rim. That's another spot where switching to a zone can shut some of those driving lanes off. Now it opens up other issues. And again, I'm just saying use it as the occasional changeup. It frustrates me that guard doesn't do that, but maybe I'm wrong on that. The other one that, again, this is only my opinion. I know for a fact, Justin, I think, disagrees with this, and I'm not trying to take this moment with as like the bully pulpit where I can only, where it's only my voice out there. A lot of voices on this disagree, and that's totally, totally apt. But my opinion on this one is regular season conference titles are a big deal. They really are. And I know some say, well, it doesn't matter if you don't perform in March. Valid opinion. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I disagree, right? I think March has a lot of variance and a lot of unlucky things that can happen. I think a regular season is a grind. And in a Big Ten, if you win a conference title, a share of it, you're one of the two best teams in that conference that year. That's a really big deal, period. No asterisks, none, zero. No, well, they failed in the tournament. No, to me, that doesn't matter. And this isn't, again, other people have different takes on this, and that's totally fair too. I'm only saying what my opinion is because that's what I got to share on this show. But I think at times people are glossing over the regular season titles that Greg Gard has won. Like, I think those are really big deals. And there's schools that would sacrifice, you know, so much to have to win a regular season title to see what's that like. I don't think we should be so quick to just pretend like that's not a big deal. Only my opinion. The other one I would say is he needs to do better in March, right? Like, the regular season stuff is a huge deal to me. Winning a share of the Big Ten is a big deal to me. It means more to me, way more to me than a Big Ten tournament, by the way, which I don't give a crap about. I've said that before. Before last year's show, by the way, before last year's Big Ten tournament, I said, I hope they lose in the first game so nobody gets hurt and they can rest Johnny Davis. That's how little I care about the Big Ten basketball tournament. I care about the regular season and I care about March. That's it. I don't give a crap about the Big Ten tournament. I really don't. I know others do. I only care when it helps seeding, which means this year I'm going to care a lot, actually, by the way, because the Badgers might need to win two or three games in the tournament this year. So I'm going to actually care this year. But I only care when it can help my team get into March or help seeding. Otherwise, I really don't give a crap about that tournament. Like the Big East basketball tournament, that is an institution, especially when it was really rolling. You know, the Big Ten tournament, nah, I just don't get that jazzed up for it. But he needs to do better in March, right? That gets me to my other point. I care about the Big Ten regular season where I think Gard has done really well. And then I care about March where he needs to do better, period, right? So that's where I'm at on those. The last thing, kind of big picture basketball thing I want to talk about is I firmly believe next year's team is going to be quite a bit better. I really do. I really, really think that the next year's team is going to be better. I think it's going to be better because, you know, people will say, well, Hepburn's not going to get that much better. But I don't know. Don't be so quick to say that. Like, I don't think he has star ceiling, but another year playing basketball, another year of grinding in the gym, he's going to get better. Like, Hepburn's going to get a little better next year. Tyler Wall could come back. Stephen Crowell's going to be, I think, decently, maybe significantly better next year. This year was his big weight jump, right? Next year, he can just focus on post moves, focus on finishing around the rim with that added weight. I think he's going to be potentially significantly better next year. Excuse me. Tyler Wall could come back. Connor Sejan is going to be significantly better next year. He's going to be bigger, right? You see him driving to the rim. You see him getting overmatched physically on the defensive end. He's going to be bigger and stronger next year. He's going to absolutely be better. And then you have Gus Yaldin, who I think is going to play right away. I think John Blackwell can play right away. And that host of, I would say, role players that haven't always played well enough, those guys can still get better as well. And I think Gard has to hit the portal. I tend to think of this year as an anomaly year. I think we're better next year. I hope we are, because if we are, listen, at the end of the day, we've talked about this with Scott. We talked about this. We're all Badger fans, right? So if we're better and Gard is better and he starts achieving some of this, I think we're all going to be happy for that. And if he doesn't, he's not going to have a job, right? If he can't keep growing and getting better and he's addressing some of these roster issues, then he won't have a job. And I don't think anybody's going to be that upset about it, because if you can't get the job done at this level, they'll find somebody who can. Okay. So that's just where I'm at. I know that's a lot of rambling. I apologize. I did want to get into your bunch of comments. Again, a bunch of them that disagree with me, which I'm totally cool with. I'm certainly wrong plenty. So no worries there. Keep them coming. I appreciate all your talk. Let me know who your three highest upside prospects in this high school football class are. Again, I went with Tretch. I went with JT Taylor, just because I'm telling you, I think he's a potential star, and then Amari Snowden, the freakiest of the freaks. So with that said, on Wisconsin, I'll talk to y'all later. Let's go.